We want to thank Harav Rosenzweig for taking time out of his busy schedule. This is this is not the first time that the community has had the opportunity to host Harav Rosenzweig, and it really means a lot. It means a lot to me personally as a Talmud, and I know to many members of the community, people who have been Talmidim, people who have heard Shiurim, people who just have a general exposure to Harav Rosenzweig. And just to share a very short thought, the pasuk says, "Shavah Shuvah is coming, Shuvah Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha." And many commentators ask, why it is that the Torah tells us Shuvah Yisrael ad instead of Shuvah El? Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu could have just told us, and we could have just told us to return toward a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But I know that one thing that I've learned, and hopefully the exposure will have the really unique opportunity this evening, is that perhaps the explanation is Shuvah El is just sort of a lower level. It's the direction of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Shuvah Ad, that's the most idealistic form of Shuvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, as the Gemara says, that ultimately we can reach the Kisei HaKavod through our Shuvah. That's the highest level. And so I know one thing that I've gained from Rosenzweig, hopefully everyone will has gained in the past, and those who have not heard him have an opportunity to gain this evening as well, is that appreciation for the really just the ambition and the striving for the highest level of achievement, especially this time of year. I know for me personally, just to have an opportunity to host Rosenzweig, knowing who he is and knowing what he represents, is really a unique opportunity that for me hopefully will be inspirational for me to reach as far as I can achieve this Aseres Mei Tshuva, and I hope and pray that everyone and I trust everyone will find the same. So again, thank you very much, Rosenzweig.
Posting the Chor Hatzanya, first I want to thank Rabbi Sinensky for inviting me here this evening, and I appreciate it very much. It also gives me a personal gratification and sense of nachas to see my students assuming positions of responsibility. And traditionally, being the rabbi of Einstein has always been a very challenging and very important position. The community here has an excellent reputation. I was here for Shabbos actually some years back, and really was very impressed. And the kind of questions that come up, and the guidance and direction during these years of study are really very important. So I'm very happy that somebody of his caliber has taken this position. Again, historically, the rabbis here have always been on a very high level. And as I say, it gives me personal satisfaction to see one of my excellent Talmidim. You're here in service of your wife, I say. I was going to say, you're not a medical student. Physics. So thank you for inviting me this evening. As we prepare for Yom Kippur, so I thought we would just examine some of the famous formulations of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, specifically about Yom Kippur and about Tshuva generally, so that we can more fully appreciate the Rambam's singular approach to some of these issues, number one, and more important, it's not just an academic exercise, but this should be, help us as an additional additional foundation in our preparation for Yom Kippur, and as we'll explain, for what comes beyond Yom Kippur. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, zeroes in on the significance of Yom Kippur. Again, the Rambam begins Hilchos Tshuva, as we would expect, with a general discussion of Tshuva and what it is, and we'll get back to that as well. Perek Aleph, Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Aleph, is a very famous halacha in the Rambam, and it's filled with all sorts of difficulties, some of which we'll explore in just a few minutes. So while the Rambam begins in a general way, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, he immediately, even in Perek Aleph, integrates Yom Kippur with the rest of his discussion of Tshuva. The Rambam starts Aleph Aleph, as we discussed, but then starts off by saying that tshuva is required for every kind of transgression. Kol mitzvah shebetorah bein aseh bein lo aseh im aver adam malachas mehem bein bezonam bein b'shkaga kishiyasa tshuva b'yashuv b'chato chayv lihisvados lifnei akel baruch hu. Rambam starts off by saying that anytime you are in violation of any of the mitzvos, you do any aveira, you require tshuva. Then he goes on to explain that. We'll get back to this halacha. And then halacha beis already, he he integrates Yom Kippur into the discussion. Se'ira mishtaleach lefishu kapar lekol Yisrael kohen gadol misvada alav alashon kol Yisrael shenemar v'yisvada alav eskol avonos b'nei Yisrael. So already in second halacha in Hukos Tshuva, the Rambam is speaking about the specifics of Yom Kippur and how that fits in with Tshuva b'kol Hashana. And he continues with this in Halacha Gimel to explain how Tshuva generally and Atzmol Shel Yom HaKippurim together with its Vidui, the Sira Mishtaleach, when there is a Sira Mishtaleach, that's in Halacha Beis, when there's no Sira Mishtaleach in Halacha Gimel, and so on. And again, Halacha Dalet, which is the culmination of that first parak, Afa Bisha Tshuva Mechaperas Halakol, the Atzmol Shel Yom HaKippurim Mechaper, and so on. So three out of the four halachos in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva already examine or integrate the role of Yom Kippur in general Tshuva. However, it's really only in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva, beginning with Halacha Zayin, that the Rambam deals specifically with the opportunity and the challenges of Yom Kippur. And he tells us, very famous words, Yom HaKippurim Huzman Tshuva L'Kol Yachid Ol Rabim. Yom Kippur is a time of tshuva for individuals and for the community. Who kates, mechila, uslicha, liyisrael, is a strange, bit of a strange term. Kates, either the last chance or the ultimate chance of slicha, mechila for klal Yisrael. Lefikach, therefore, says the Rambam, chayavin hakol asos tshuva ulhisvados b'yom HaKippur. Therefore, one is obligated to do tshuva and to do vidui on Yom Kippur. Again, we'll explain the significance of this formulation in a couple of minutes. And then the Rambam adds, "Umitzvah vidui Yom HaKippurim." The mitzvah vidui of confession on Yom Kippur is a very ubiquitous mitzvah. We engage in vidui on Yom Kippur very frequently, and not only that, but we begin the process actually on Erev Yom Kippur. Sheyatchil me'erev hayom. We start Erev Yom Kippur. Kodim sheyochal shema yichanek besuuda. Kodim sheyizvade. We're worried that, you know, if nobody's around to do, I guess, the Heimlich maneuver, and the person, you know, chokes on a bone or whatever it is during the Suda HaMafsekes. I don't know if the Heimlich maneuver is outdated now, or if it's still, you know, it's still part of the, you know, contemporary medical curriculum. But whatever it is, we're worried that he might choke, and he won't be able to recover, and he'll never reach Yom Kippur and do vidui. It's an amazing idea. It's based on the Gemara. So therefore, we begin our vidui already on Mincha, Erev Yom Kippur, which we do. If you go to Shul Erev Yom Kippur, or even if you don't. So the Shemone Esrei contains already the vidui, all the alchets, etc. The Avapish is Vade Kodim Sheyochal. The Rambam says, don't think just because you safeguarded the opportunity for vidui that, you know, that exempts you. Because the fact is that still Chozer Mizvada B'Leil Yom HaKippurim Arvis Chozer Mizvada B'Shachris B'Musaf B'Mincha B'Ne'ila B'Hecha Mizvada Yachid Achar Tfilaso Shliach Tzibur B'Emsa Tfilaso B'Bracha Revis. So the Rambam basically tells us that we say vidui an awful lot of times on Yom Kippur. We say Erev Yom Kippur because we're afraid we're not going to reach Yom Kippur. Very strange halacha. And then Mariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, Ne'ila, right? And each of those, except for Mariv, where there's no Chazaras Hashatz, but even then you have actually a similar fashion, right? You have a double vidui, because you have the Yachid and the Tzibur. And I would just add, we know what the Nusach of our vidui is, right? There's a Zuta and an Arichta. There's a Shamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, Dibarnu, Dofi, right? And there's also all the Alchets. So we say an awful lot of vidui on Yom Kippur. Then the Rambam continues in Halach Ches, and he says the following. This is a little bit surprising. Havidui shenu gubo kol Yisrael, aval anachnu chatanu. What is this vidui that we repeat? Right, again, I lost count already. Right, it's five tefilos. You double it, you know, so it's 10 because of the Yachid and the Tzibur. If you want to double the Zuta and the Arichta, so it's 20, right? 20 times vidui, practically, right? Give or take. And what is this vidui? Ikar vidui shenogu b'kol Yisrael is simply the words, aval anachnu chatanu. Behu ikra vidui. And then the Rambam says, avero shezvad aleim b'yom HaKippurim zeh, Chozer Mizvada Aleim B'Yom HaKippurim Acher. The Averos, which you are going to focus on in your Vidui on this Yom Kippur, you should know that a year from now, you'll still be doing Vidui, you'll still be confessing those very same transgressions. Why? Afa Pishu Omeid B'Tshuvasa. Even if the tshuva that he does right now is going to be effective, he's not going to slide back, right? He's not going to revert back to his transgressing ways at all. Nonetheless, Afa Pishu Omeid B'Tshuvasa, he still is going to repeat in the next year the same vidui, Shenemar Kipashai Ani Eida V'Chatasi Negdi Tamid. So now if we examine Halacha Ches a little more closely, it seems that there are several challenging elements. Number one, this idea that, let's start with the second one first and then we'll come back to the first one. This idea that the Averos for which you do Vidui this year, you're going to be repeating them, going to be reiterating the Vidui next year, even if your tshuva is fully effective. What kind of Halacha is that? Number one, where did the Rambam get it from? There's a discussion in the Gemara, in Masachet Yoma, about this question. And the Gemara seems to debate whether or not you can do vidui on old chataim or not. It seems to be a debate in the Gemara about this question. And the truth of the matter is, Torah bonad averish zvad aleim yom kippurim zeh, lo yizvad aleim yom kippurim acher. Of course, if you revert to your transgressing ways, then you have to do Vidui the next year as well. That's obvious. But otherwise, there's no reason, once you've confessed and done an effective tshuva, to come back to the Vidui next year on these same avails. The imlo shana bahen, v'chazor v'yizvad aleim, alav ha-kasuv omer, kekelev shov el-kiyo, ksil shoneb ivalto. Which is basically a very derogatory statement, it's a pasuk in Mishle, which tells us that you shouldn't be going back to the same old, tired, unhappy things, basically. You shouldn't be obsessing about the past. That's improper. Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov Omer, Koshkein Shehu Meshubach, Shenemar, Ki Peshaya Ni'eda, V'chatasi Negdi Tamid. And what do you do with that other pasuk? And he has a different explanation. So basically, there seem to be two views in the Gemara. According to one, it's improper to continue to do vidui once the tshuva has effectively been accomplished. And according to the other, it's meshubach, it's a good idea, it's praiseworthy. But the Rambam makes it seem like it's not just praiseworthy, makes it seem like it's obligatory. Now the Rambam knows how to say meshubach when he wants to. Okay? We know that because, number one, he was a very articulate person, maybe the most articulate person that we can imagine. And secondly, in the context of Hilchos Tshuva itself, the Rambam knows how to discriminate between that which is obligatory and that which is meshubach, which is praiseworthy. When the Rambam explains the requirement of vidui in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Aleph, right, he tells you what vidui is, get to that in just a second, and then he adds, B'chol amar b'lehizvados umarich b'inyan zeh, hareza meshubach. Whoever, right, extends his vidui, adds to the vidui, right, an elongated, lengthy vidui is preferable. So the Rambam wants to say, it sounds like Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's almost the exact same words that he uses in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Chametz HaMatzah, but that's not for now. Kalambar be lehizvados umarich b'inyan zeh, harei zeh meshubach. So why is it that in Perek Beis, Halacha Ches, when he takes the position of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that you're allowed to, and it's even praiseworthy, to return to previous viduis, there all of a sudden the Rambam makes it sound obligatory and not simply meshubach. I don't know how he gets out of the Gemara, but at least the implication is that the Rambam feels that this is an important feature. Michas Chinuch is bothered by this. He says, I don't understand why the Rambam necessarily has to pass like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And certainly, this extended formulation is questionable. In the Gemara, another question could be raised. The whole idea of vidui, this Yom Kippur, being anticipating in advance that next Yom Kippur will be saying the same vidui, is just peculiar. And that on two levels. Number one, what does Yom Kippur have to do with anything? Vidui is the obligation of tshuva kol hashana. Perek Aleph Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, Kol mitzvah shebatorah bein aseh bein lo aseh im avar adam malachas mehen bein bezonah bein bishgaga kishe yasa tshuva v'yoshu mecheto chayiv lehizvados lefnei akel baruch hu. We'll discuss this more in just a minute. This is the famous Rambam. The Rambam, more than any other Rishon, right, projected vidui to the center of tshuva. Some people think that, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah is only one of vidui. Confession. And that's what the Rambam says, kolamarbe, kolamari, chareza meshubach. This is the Rambam's perspective on vidui. So anytime a person does an avera, kol mitzvah shel b'torah ben aseh ben lo aseh, im avar adam malachas mehem, he's obligated to say vidui. So why the vidui of this Yom Kippur will be repeated next Yom Kippur? Why isn't the Rambam speaking about the vidui that you say in the context of tshuva, kol hashana, right? We're going to say it on Yom Kippur too. What's this one Yom Kippur to the next Yom Kippur? And secondly, why are we going forward? Why doesn't the Rambam say the vidui that we said last year, we're going to say it again, as opposed to the vidui that we say now, we'll be returning to it again next year? That part isn't the Rambam, those two points. Those two points are not the Rambam, they're the Gemara. But at least according to the Gemara, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it's a question whether it's meshubach, or it is, whether it's praiseworthy, or it's detrimental. For the Rambam, this is a more serious a question, because he seems to say that this is obligatory in some fashion. So what is this whole idea of one Yom Kippur to the other Yom Kippur to next Yom Kippur? What's that all about? A far more serious question is the first half of the halacha. What did the Rambam say? The ikar vidui, the ikar confession, is aval chatanu. Right? We have sinned. What's wrong with that? That sounds okay. Well, number one, I mean, so many, 20 times vidui, and the ikar vidui, the basic vidui, is simply aval chatanu. That's question number one. More important is, again, to compare to halacha aleph. When the Rambam speaks generally, right, about tshuva, and he focuses on vidui, as we already discussed. So how does he define, how does he describe vidui in that context? So the Rambam says, when you do tshuva, yashuv micheto, chayiv lizvados lefnei akel baruch hu, shenemar isho isho ki yasu, vihisvadu es katasam asher asu, ze vidui dvarim. Vidui ze mitzvah saseh. Vidui, confession, is a positive command. Ketzad mizvadin. Right now we're going to find out. How do we define vidui? Let's compare the Rambam's definition of vidui in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and his definition that we just read. What did he say in Beis Ches? Aval anachnu chatanu. What is it here? Ana Hashem. Right? That in itself is fascinating. What is Ana Hashem? You have to say these words, Ana Hashem. Chatasi avisi pashati lifanecha. So instead of simply aval anachnu chatanu, it's ana Hashem. You address Ribbono Shel Olam formally. Then you say instead of simply chatanu, right? Chatasi avisi pashati. The Gemara Numa explains a chet is different than an avon, which is different than a pesha. The details are not important for now. Mezid and shogeg and all sorts of different elements that go into each level of chet, and it's lifonecha v'yasisi kach v'kach, which means that you are detailing your transgression, the hare, and now, what do you feel about that transgression? That too is part of the vidui. Nichamti, I have regret. Boshti, mimasai, I'm embarrassed. Regret and embarrassment are two different emotions. La'olam eini chozer ledavar zeh, big commitment, right? I'll never, relapse into this sin. How can you make that statement in all sincerity and honesty? Does anyone know the future? Apparently your tshuva has to be based so much on a change of heart that you can confidently, make this kind of a statement. So there are three additional elements, ingredients in vidui. There is nechama, busha, and kabbalah la'asid. In addition to the fact that it's chatasi avisi pashati, and it's ana Hashem, and you are specifying your avera. The zehu ikaro shel vidui. Now the same phrase that the Rambam uses in Perek Beis Halacha Ches, what is ikaro shel vidui on Yom Kippur? Aval anachnu chatanu. Right? That phrase, ikaro shel vidui, appears in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. That's very strange. Much, much more ambitious, wide-ranging vidui. So some of the Achronim ask these questions. The Lechem Mishnah asks the question on a very simple level. Lechem Mishnah says, listen, here it's Aval Nachnu Chatanu, and earlier it was Chatasi Avisi Pashati. What happened to the Avisi and the Pashati? So Lechem Mishnah gives a simple but unconvincing answer. He says what the Rambam meant when he said Aval Nachnu Chatanu is Ikar Vidui, he meant Aval Nachnu Chatanu V'chulei. Right? Etc. Look at Perek Aleph Halach Aleph. The Avodas HaMelech likewise is bothered by the other question. The Rambam says in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, Kol HaMizvada B'Dvarim V'lo Gomar B'Li B'Lazov Har Izadom L'Tovo Sharetz B'Yado, that a person has to be sincere in his confession. And then he adds, B'Tzorech Lifrot HaSachet, and you have to detail your transgression. Can't have a general in the context of the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu, it was necessary for Klal Yisrael, right, to specify their transgression. So how come we're not specifying our transgression on Yom Kippur? We're saying that Ikar Vidui is simply Aval Anachnu Chatanu. So Avodas HaMelech, taking a page from the Lechem Mishnah's playbook, says probably the Rambam understood that you have to look to the previous halachos, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. He meant to Bechule. It doesn't sound that way. It certainly doesn't work that way for the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch quotes this line of the Rambam based on the Gemara. Aval Anachnu Chatanu is Ikaro Shel Vidui. It's based on a story in the Gemara where the Gemara says a certain Amora, right, was sitting during tefillah, and the other fellow was standing next to him. And then, when the chazan, you know, said, and the tzibur said, "Oh, anachnu chatanu," he shot up. So he said, "Oh, why is he doing that?" You know, apparently, aval anachnu chatanu, that's ikar vidui. Okay, so the Rama quotes this in Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Rambam is writing Hilchos Tshuva. It starts with Perek Aleph, it includes Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. Then by the time you reach Perek Beis Halacha Ches, you can say, you know what, the Rambam expects you to have a good memory and to know that, you know, what he's saying here is invoking what he wrote previously. But the Rama is not writing Hilchos Tshuva. The Rama says this in the context of Hilchos Yom Kippurim. There is no equivalent Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, and there's no Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, you know, right there in the context of Hilchos Yom Kippurim. He doesn't have Hilchos Tshuva at all, the Shulchan Aruch, in the same way that the Rambam does. So when he says of Ikar Vidui is Aval Anachnu Chatanu, there's certainly no Vechulei. What happened not only to Pirut Achet and Avisi Pashati? What happened to Nechama? What happened to Busha? What happened to Kabbalah? Lasid. These are critical ingredients. And what happened to the whole Nusach of Ana Hashem, etc.? This is a serious question, a serious puzzle. Why the discrepancy between the treatment of Yom Kippur and everything else? And especially when you consider that the Rambam's whole description, Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, was that Yom Kippur is particularly a day where there's a lot of vidui. Right? We said 20 times. What's going on? The Beis Elokim, which is the work of the Mabit, the Mabit wrote a work called Beis Elokim on Inyane Tshuva, Matters of Tshuva. So he has the following suggestion. He says, Yom Kippur is a time of rachamim. The Tshuva of Yom Kippur and the Tshuva of Kol Hashana are based on different principles. And as such, the rule is that on Yom Kippur you can get away with a shorter version of vidui. The Rav suggested something similar of Soloveitchik, based on, he said, once said, the vidui of Yom Kippur is solu solu panu derech harimu mechshol. That's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's initiative. The tshuva of Kol Hashana of all year round is when man has to take the initiative. Tirshu Hashem behimatzo kra'u b'yoso karo. So on Yom Kippur, right, we can lighten up the content of the vidui, because it's a time of rachamim. It's basically, we have to go along with the direction that is already provided on high by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's a possible answer. Another suggestion, there are some achronim who argue that really there are two completely different ideas in vidui. After all, we find vidui in the context of tshuva, and that's what the Rambam refers to in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Tshuva Halakha Aleph. The whole point is to focus on the obligation of tshuva or the method of tshuva, which is vidui. But we also find vidui in the halachic world in another context. That's the context of karban. When a person brings a karban, he says vidui. The Rambam codifies this as well in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, Halacha Tezvav. Yeah, the Rambam talks about the general principle that when you bring a karban, it is vidui. Ketzad mizvada, Omer chatasi avisi pashati, asisi kach lekach, chazarti b'tshuva lefanecha v'zu kaparas. So the suggestion is as follows. In general, there are two ideas of vidui. One is vidui as a method and in the framework of tshuva, and the other is that vidui has its own power, its own capacity to initiate kapara, whether it be in the context of a karban, or possibly something that accomplishes in parallel what a karban accomplishes. For example, the day of Yom Kippur. We have a rule that says that itzumo shel yom is mechaper. Yom Kippur itself has therapeutic, you know, healing powers when it comes to halachic transgressions. There's a debate whether with tshuva, possibly even without tshuva. Either way, Yom Kippur has a koach of kapara. And after all, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is the one who did the vidui on behalf of Kol Klal Yisrael, not necessarily in the context of tshuva, but in the context of the Korban Se'ira Mishtaleach. So, is it possible that there are two viduis? There's a vidui of tshuva, and there's a vidui which is related to the koach kapara of Yom Kippur in its capacity as a mechaper in its own right, together with, ideally in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Se'ira Mishtaleach. For example, one of the Monei HaMitzvos, the Sefer Yireim, Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, a Talmud, a student of Rabbeinu Tam, suggests that there is such an idea on Yom Kippur. Vidu Yom Kippur, he says, flows from the vidui of the Kohen Gadol on the Se'ira Mishtaleach, separate from tshuva, or so it would appear. The Mabit, who I referred to before, I referred to his work, Beis Elokim, he also wrote another work on the Rambam, a parish on the Rambam, called Kiryat Sefer, which is more well known, in which he argues, based on the Ran, that there are 10 viduis on Yom Kippur. He wasn't doubling the Ashamnus and the Alchets, right? 10 times what we say vidui, and that's keneged the 10 Shemos Hamafurash that we find in the context of the Avodah. Nothing to do with tshuva. Has to do with a certain itzumo shel yom, the koach lechaper. The Levush says something similar. He says, why do we have vidui on Yom Kippur? Because the Torah says, ki b'yom hazeh yichaper alechem. Now, the kapara that we're referring to in that context is the kapara of itzumo shel yom. So is it possible that vidui is connected to korban and to Yom Kippur as a mechaper? In which case, there are two different ideas at play here. One is vidui in the context of tshuva, like we find it all year round. That vidui, right, because it's connected to tshuva, also requires regret and embarrassment and, you know, a commitment for the future, and it requires the expanded formulation of chatasi avisi and pashati and ana hashem, all of these things. On Yom Kippur, where in addition there's also a concept of vidui for the kapara of Yom Kippur, which, according to some, could take place independent of tshuva, all you have to say is, aval chatanu. That's a suggestion that some achronim made. The problem is, it works very nicely for the Urayim, and for the Bahag, and for the Levush, and for the Mabit, for the people we're talking about. Does it really work for the Rambam? After all, let's not forget that the Rambam opened Hilchos Tshuva, right, with the Nechama and the Busha and everything else. But if when he said, Ketzad Mizvadin, what is the vidui that we do? Ana Hashem, Chatasi, Avisi, Pashati, that is the vidui of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So if the Rambam meant to draw a distinction between two viduis, avidui of tshuva and avidui of Yom Kippur per se, it would be very peculiar for him to quote the vidui of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, right, as the exemplar of vidui of tshuva. Moreover, Perek Beis Halacha Ches, which is our problematic Rambam, where it says aval chatanu is ikar vidui, that Rambam comes after, well, Beis Ches usually comes after Beis Zayin. Perek Beis Halacha Zayin is the halacha on the Rambam that I began with, which is where the Rambam says that Yom Kippurim zman tshuva lekol yachid ularabim uketz slicho mechila liYisrael lefikach chayavin hakol lasos tshuva biYom Kippur ulehizvados. And then in the next halacha, the Rambam says, what is the vidui? Aval anachnu katanu. So the suggestion for the Rambam that Perek Beis Halacha Ches, as opposed to Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, is about the vidui of the kapara of Yom Kippur, and not the vidui of the tshuva of Yom Kippur, does not seem to be correct. Because according to the Rambam, Ches is a description of Lefika Chayavin Hakol Lasos Tshuva Ulehizvados B'Yom Kippur. So we're still left with the problem, with the question. So I'd like to suggest is the following approach. Let's go back to Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph for a moment. This is a very controversial Rambam for many reasons, right? The most basic of which is the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva should be describing the obligation to do tshuva. And instead, what he seems to be focusing on is the obligation of vidui. And that's what he says both in his introduction to Hilchos Tshuva and in Sefer HaMitzvos and in the body of Hilchos Tshuva itself. It's taken as a given that you will do tshuva, and that you will turn your back on your sinning ways. So then, chayav, which refers to the mitzvah, what we're talking about in this whole section, lihisvados, lifnei akel, and so on. This is the question that all of the Mefarshim asked. How come the Rambam at the beginning of his tshuva is focusing on vidui? Vidui seems to be a detail in tshuva. He should have said there's an obligation for every Jew who transgresses to do tshuva. Right? It's a serasimei tshuva now. We know about the obligation to do tshuva, but it's all year round. Right? Particularly conducive in this time of year. That's the Rambam in Perek Beis Halach Abav, the one before I quoted. But it's an all year, all life obligation. Why does the Rambam start with vidui instead of starting with tshuva? It's just a question of starting. There's nowhere in Hilchos Tshuva that the Rambam speaks about an obligation or a mitzvah to do tshuva, with one exception. And that is Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, when he speaks about Yom Kippur. Now, what's going on? The Michas Chinuch, the famous comment, mitzvah Tav Samach Dalet, which is the mitzvah of tshuva, says the reason that the Rambam doesn't focus on the chiyuv, the obligation to do tshuva, is because there is no such obligation. Tshuva is an opportunity, not an obligation. If a person chooses to take the consequences of his transgression, of his improper behavior, right? If he wants to eschew the opportunity of tshuva, so be it. He doesn't get an additional violation for ignoring the call to tshuva. That's the view of the Minchas Chinuch. Or that's the Minchas Chinuch's view of the Rambam, I should say. And therefore the obligation is, if you decide to do tshuva, that you should do it bevidui, but there's no obligation to do tshuva. Many achronim do not like this Minchas Chinuch, Rav Soloveitchik included. They just felt that philosophically, it's inconceivable that tshuva is a choice or an opportunity. We all agree that it's an opportunity. And we all agree that, you know, one could choose, one has the ability to choose, to ignore tshuva. But the idea that it is neutral, religiously neutral, right? If you want to take this path and reap the benefits, so be it. And if you choose to wallow and remain in your state of transgression, you know, so be it. That idea, that tshuva isn't obligatory, is something which, as a sensibility, they're very uncomfortable with. And there are plenty of psukim and other indications that tshuva isn't just a magnificent opportunity, which it is, almost like a miracle, but it really is an obligation. So why this dichotomy then between tshuva, which is practically ignored, and vidui, which seems to be center stage? So the Rav had his own answer to this question, distinguishing between the method of doing tshuva, the vidui is the maisa tshuva, as opposed to what he called the kiyum shabalev. The tshuva is a state of mind. It's an emotional awareness, commitment. It's not an action. So you do vidui, and that stirs, right, emotionally, the feelings of tshuva. And it's not uncommon that the Rambam would distinguish between the Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyuma mitzvah, and this is a major leitmotif in the Rav's thinking. However, I'd like to suggest another approach. Similar, but the most important aspect of it is different. I too think that the Rambam here is distinguishing between the method and the goal of the mitzvah. But not in the sense of the Maisa and the Kiyuma mitzvah, but in the following way. We find that the Rambam often counts mitzvos which seem to focus on methods rather than on the institution itself. Divorce, obviously it's not a good thing, it's not a constructive thing to get divorced unless a person's in a bad marriage. When the Rambam counts divorce as one of the Tariq mitzvos, some of the Mefarshim were very troubled by this. Nachla, inheritance, Shechita, Kedushin. It doesn't seem like the Rambam thinks that the mitzvah, what he calls the mitzvah of Kiikach Ish Isha, of Kedushin, isn't that the mitzvah to get married. The way the Rambam formulates it is, when and if a person gets married, the mitzvah is to do it according to the following protocol. And there are three options that you have, Kesef, Shtar, Bia. When the Rambam explains divorce, he doesn't say it's a mitzvah to get divorced. He doesn't even say in a bad marriage it's a mitzvah to get divorced. What he says is, if a person is getting divorced, it's a mitzvah for him to do so by using a shtar, ksav, and doing it in the proper way. If a person wants to eat meat, right, which he's not obligated to do, it's a mitzvah that he first take the step of shechita, which is matir, the basar, l'achila. In my opinion, whenever the Rambam does this, what he means to convey is the following idea. What distinguishes between, let's say, a universal perspective and a Jewish sanctified perspective about relating to a particular institution is sometimes the details of its implementation. If you want to know what is singular about Jewish marriage, right, you have to understand the methodology that you use to accomplish it. The fact that there is an erusin that is separate from nisuin, that there's a kinyan involved, is critical to understanding this. The fact that when you terminate a marriage, you don't just walk away and say, you know, the time has come to end this, but that you require a process of gerushin, which is a kind of a matir, requires a certain ksav, and it has to be lishma, and there are stages in das lagaresh, meaning you don't walk away easily from a marriage. Right? You only do so, right, when you clearly understand what the stakes are and you reflect the fact that you are not just walking away from it, but transforming or retransforming the state of the man and the woman. The method reflects on the unique perspective or stature involved. If you want to eat meat, so the halachic perspective is that you have to undergo shechita. You have to do something which has its roots in the world of kadshim and karbanos, shechita. You do that even for basar taiva, a regular meal. And that tells you what the halachic attitude, why you have to say brachos and why you have to say bracha after you eat. All of this is highlighted by the methodology that you use. So when it comes to Hilchos Tshuva, what the Rambam is telling us is something very profound. The Rambam doesn't focus on tshuva not because tshuva is voluntary or neutral. And not because it's only a Kiyum Shabbalayim. What the Rambam wanted to explain was, there are two ideas in Tshuva. One idea is simply, very much like Rabbi Sinansky said in the introduction, to kind of neutralize one's Avera, right? Shuvu midarkechem hara'a, what the Ramban calls, a person is omeid bemirdo, if a person transgresses and he doesn't do anything about it, so it's a slap in the face, a continuing slap in the face, through his relationship to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. He did it and he hasn't rectified the situation. Just like if I damage my relationship with a fellow human being and I don't do anything about it, right? That would be unacceptable. Omeid bemirdo itself demands tshuva. You can't face the melech after having abused him, right, without doing something about it. You'll never be able to walk back into the throne room. That doesn't require a mitzvah saseh. Let me highlight it by saying, some of the Chronim ask the question, they say, well, every Avera, every Lav that you do, you know, we have the Lav Sheish B'maisa, it's subject to Malkus, why not say that every Lav that you do is a Lav Anita Klase, you can always do Tshuva? That's such a good question, but it's an interesting question. The mentality that underlies the question is the idea that Tshuva neutralizes your transgression. Therefore, you can ask the question, since you always have a way to neutralize, everything is a law of shame by my son, aware, law of anita klase, I should say. Okay. The idea is that the tshuva of simply redressing transgression, that in itself would not have been a mitzvah saseh. The halachic understanding of tshuva goes well beyond that. It sees transgression as an opportunity. We avoid transgression, but if unfortunately one is involved in transgression, so then one has to take a constructive approach. Not only to rehabilitate oneself, but to take the opportunity to undergo kind of sensitivity training, spiritual sensitivity training, having felt the distance between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, to turn that as a catalyst into a greater appreciation of what it means to have that kind of relationship. In other words, not simply to neutralize, but for this to be an avoda in which one progresses and advances. And how is that symbolized? By the methodology. If when I do a particular sin, I say, Ana Hashem, right? I have to address the Rabbanu Shel Olam in that way, Ana Hashem, right? And then I say, Chatasi Avisi Pashati. So the Minchas Chinuch asks, what do you mean Chatasi Avisi Pashati? The Gemara says, a chet is different than an avon, which is different than a pesha. Which one did you do here? Why are you mentioning all three each time if you only violated one? So the Minchas Chinuch has a reverse Lacha Mishnah approach. He says, when the Rambam says Chatasi Avisi Pashati, what he meant was, fill in the blanks. Either Chatasi or Avisi or Pashati. Right? But that's not what the Rambam says. This is the bidui of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Of course, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is speaking for all of Klal Yisrael. They have plenty of chatos, plenty of avonos, and plenty of pshayim. But if each individual is going to say chatasi avisi pashati, then what are we really saying? That we are transcending the particular avera. Not only that, to neutralize the situation of mered, is it really necessary that there be nichamti, regret, and boshti, I have a sense of embarrassment, right? And my resolve to change is so sincere, right, and so bedrock, that I can honestly say, eini chozel davar zeh liola. Right? That's a major commitment, if you're being honest. And as the Rambam says later, vidu, which is dishonest, is like tovel, v'sheretz biyado. It's like walking in a mikvah and holding the source of tumah. It doesn't accomplish anything. You have to be sincere. You have to be authentic. So for a person to be able to say that, obviously it's not enough that he neutralizes sin. He's taken the opportunity of this distance, of the chet, to turn tshuva by means of this expanded, ambitious vidui into an opportunity of avodas Hashem. That's why we say, b'makom shebalei tshuva omdim, right, ein sadikim gemurim yecholim la'amod. The Baal Tshuva can be better than a tzaddik because although he started off negatively, right, he turned that into a constructive experience. The highest form of tshuva, the Gemara in Yuma tells us, is the tshuva of Nasan Lahem Kizchuyos. Right? That sounds very mystical. You do an Aveira, you're in a state of transgression, you're a criminal. And if you do tshuva, me'ava, out of love of God, so then you turn the transgression into a zchus, into a merit. That's amazing. But how does it work? I don't think it's mystical at all. I think it's amazing. You know, even miraculous, but not mystical. What really happens, very simple. If one walks away from the experience, not just wanting to redress, you know, the imbalance in one's relationship, but as a catalyst for progressing, advancing, appreciating, right, what it means to be a religious personality, an Oved Hashem. So then you've taken the total negative experience of the transgression and you've turned it into a constructive experience. That's b'makom she'tzadikim gemurim om she'bali tshuva om the name tzadikim yecholim lama. That's exactly what it is. That's the tshuva which is me'ahava. So according to the Rambam, it's not that tshuva isn't a mitzvah, it's that vidui highlights the unique ambition of tshuva. Except that the Rambam does have one place in Hilchos Tshuva where he speaks about the obligation to do tshuva. And that is in Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, the halacha that we began with. He says, right, one more time, Yom Kippurim uzman tshuva l'kol yachid ul'rabim, uketz mechilos licha l'Yisrael, l'fikach chayavim akol asos tshuva, l'izvados b'yom Kippurim. So, all of a sudden, in the second parak, after six other halachos in that second parak, 10 halachos into Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam finally formulates an obligation. But an obligation on Yom Kippur. What's that all about? I think the answer is very simple. When a person does an Aveira, which is what the Rambam speaks about in Parak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, so the Tshuva is automatic. That's, you know, that's obvious. That's not a mitzvah. That's just redressing the negative. The vidui is the focus of the mitzvah because in the context of the actual chet, which you violated, right, it's the ambition of the tshuva which highlights this ideal posture of tshuva as an act of avoda. But Yom Kippur is a day in the year. It's a calendar day. You didn't do the aveira now. We're not even sure whether you did a specific aveira. Yom Kippur, the obligation of tshuva flows from the period of the year, starting from Rosh Hashanah, culminating Yom Kippur. Every year, the beginning of the year, we have to reassess, reevaluate our relationships, beginning with the most important relationship, with the Borei Olam. And that tshuva, which unquestionably also focuses on existing averos, no question about that, that's very crucial. But what's really accentuated is the totality of the relationship. It's a different kind of tshuva. So for there to be a chiyuv tshuva based on the calendar, because that's the period in which ani l'dodi v'dodi li, I'm supposed to reassess my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that can be a chiyuv tshuva. But if that's the case, then the role of vidui, while it's still important, has now been minimized. I no longer need the vidui to accentuate the idealistic posture of this tshuva. The very fact that there's a chiv to do tshuva does that. So maybe that's why it's perfect. The Rambam says, this is a time of tshuva, this is the only time there's a chiv of tshuva that isn't related specifically to the neutralizing of outstanding averos, and therefore we do vidui. We continue to repeat our vidui all day long, because it isn't just about neutralizing a particular chet. Of course, the vidui can take a shorter form. It's enough that we say, aval anachnu chatanu, because the fact that we're even focusing on chataim outside the context of the chet is already the idealistic posture of tshuva. If that's the case, So there's no stira in the Rambam at all. Moreover, we can now understand the second half of Halacha Ches. And we began with noting the Rambam, basically the Gemara, has one problem. The Rambam added to it. Gemara says, according to one view, was Rakob Yaakov, that the vidui that you'll say this year, you'll say it next year as well. Afilo omed b'tshuvasa. Why? You did tshuva. It's not a game. We say, you know, kalamarbe, kalamarech. You know, it's meshubach, but you know, 20 times vidui, and we're going to say it next year, even if we do tshuva on these same chataim, and we, you know, our resolve not to lapse has been an effective resolve. Right? It's very strange. So the Rambam, instead of making meshubach, made it obligatory, number one. And the Gemara has this interesting formulation from one Yom Kippur to the next. Why one Yom Kippur to the next and not the vidui that you said in Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph? And why not last year's Yom Kippur to this year's Yom Kippur? Why this year's Yom Kippur to next year's Yom Kippur? The answer is, I think, because while, again, one has to also address specific chataim, I should make it very clear, that's important on Yom Kippur in this period of the year as well. What I'm suggesting is that's not all that we have to do. We have to do more. The ambition is greater. The ambition is to reassess our whole relationship. Anila do di vado di li. And if that's the case, it doesn't matter that we've been omeid b'tshuvasenu and the vidui of last year was effective. We know now that we're going to be mizvada again next year. Because the fact that we were once nichshal on these transgressions, and the fact that we're not really neutralizing them specifically, but we're really addressing a wider range of issues, all of that, it's Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur, it's a Yom Kippur tshuva halacha. If this was Perak Aleph halacha Aleph, we would never say, you know, that you did the vidui, ein chozer mimenu od, and what, next week you should say vidui again for something that you didn't violate in the interim? That's a waste of time. But in any Yom Kippur, it's never a waste of time, and it's not just Meshubach, it's more than that, says the Rambam, to go through the whole gamut of Al-Chetz. Having said that, let's actually look at the Al-Chetz. It's a very fascinating thing. If you look at the list, number one, it's the Zutas and the Arichtas. Right? You have Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, Dibarnadofi, Avinu, Hirsham, the whole thing. And then we have I'll hate this and I'll hate that and I'll hate the next thing. We have the short form and the long form. Why do you need both? Right? If the short form is good enough, that should be sufficient. And if the long form, you know, incorporates things that are not in the short form, what's the point of the Zuta? And Shel Yachid and Shel Tzibur, right? And every single tefillah, forget about next year. Right? Mincha, and then Mariv, and then Chakras, and then Musaf, and then Mincha, and then Nila. Vidui and more Vidui. Two types of Vidui. The Tzibur's Vidui, the Yachid's Vidui. And then if you look at the actual Al-Chetz themselves, right? Are they really specific Chataim? Are they really relevant? Are they likely Chataim that we specifically violated? Well, let me say two things about that. Number one, has anybody ever suggested that one should say al-chet about specific averos that are not on the list? I think that's question number one. There are many things on the list, right, that we haven't, as hard as we might be on ourselves, there are many things on that list that we have not violated. I'm not even sure if the whole community has violated all of those things. Maybe I'm being too optimistic. But certainly this community is. So to what extent are we just like superfluously, you know, clapping all hate? Like, what's the point? Some of those things are pretty exotic. Some of them are very repetitive. They overlap each other considerably. Not only that, but onus of a ratzon. Why do we say al chet on an onus? Onus means something that you did, you know, out of either duress or accidentally. The general rule in halacha is that onus rachmana patre. The Rambam in Pirsha Mishnayos, actually, in Yuma, says that when you have a chet ba'ones, that you don't require tshuva. So if you don't require tshuva, why are we saying al chet? Why ba'ones? Ba'ones of a ratzon, it's a pretty big gap also for them to be put together. it's almost like the range for the sake of the range, and even when there's no tshuva in the Perek Aleph, Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Aleph, sense of it. Moreover, how do we conclude the Alchetz? It seems to me, at least, always bothered me, in very anticlimactic fashion. But you'd think that the end of the list would be, you know, some serious chataim. Instead, they're categories of onshin. They're not chataim at all. Al chet shanu, you know, that you didn't do it in the tzasaseh, and then in the tzasaseh sheish bakares, and krisus, and misas bezdin. These are very serious things. But they're not chataim, they're categories. Why are we doing tshuva on categories? But I think the point is, whether it's the ones or the repetition or the xuta and the arichta, whether it's the categories in the end of the day, what we're really trying to do is take this as an opportunity. It's a different kind of tshuva. It's not the tshuva only of neutralizing chataim. It's the tshuva of looking at the whole range of human behavior, even some of the, you know, more subtle or even more exotic elements, even ones. You know, maybe I could have done something that, you know, would have, you know, obviated being in a position where I was a prey to an onus. The categories are important in the end, because even if they're not specific chataim, they represent mitzvah saseh, the neglect of spiritual opportunity. Some of the other things, you know, maisa averas. Others, where there's an element probably of mered in addition. The categories are important. If the focus of tshuva on Yom Kippur isn't just individual chataim, it's aval anachnu chatanu. It's this Yom Kippur and next Yom Kippur. Then we understand why we have that wide range of chataim. And then finally, let me finish with this. I think that this works in with another theme that's very important. That is the idea that Yom Kippur, which in some respects is the most exotic and unique and singular day of the year, we call it Achas Bashana, that's what the Torah itself describes it, Achas Bashana, single day of the year. Right? The day in which the Kohen Gadol, right, Tachas Aaron HaKohen, right, representing the theme of Aaron HaKohen, is able to be Nichnas, Lefnai V'Lefnim, into the Kodesh HaKadashim, right, the most certainly unique day of the year, the most different day of the year in terms of how we spend it, v'nisim esnashal seichem, and standing up and pretending we're malachim. That unique day of the year, that most singular day of the year, is intended also to be the most impactful day of the year. It's not a day that should be perceived in isolation. And the Marsha, in the end of Masechet Megillah, is a very wonderful comment. I always like to quote it. The Marsha there is bothered by the problem. You know, there's a bit of Shloshim Yom Lefnei Achag. We always prepare for Chagim. By Dabra Moshe, Smoadei Hashem B'nei Yisrael, by Shloshim Yom before Pesach, Shloshim Yom before Sukkot, right? We always prepare for the Chag. Why not Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So the Marsha, a very creative comment. He says, I'll tell you something else. There's a Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem, where the Gemara discusses whether or not you should say Zman, whether you should say Shachianu on Yom Kippur. So the Marsha says, the reason for both of these phenomena are that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur really belong, more so than any other holiday, to the rest of the year. They're the most relevant days of the year. Because the theme of Tshuva is a theme which is pervasive throughout one's lifetime. Like the Rambam explains in Hilchos Tshuva based on the Gemara, every day of one's life is an opportunity for tshuva. Right? Ad yom moso, and every day. Till his last day, and every day. So in a sense, the themes of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, while it is the most singular, different, superficially different, certainly, days of the year, more than any other chagim, they belong to the total rest of the year. And if this is the case, then we can appreciate why the chi of tshuva on Yom Kippur, aval chatanu, the range of the alchetz, the zuta, the arichta, we can appreciate all of that. Because it isn't just about squaring, you know, ourselves when we say Zachreinu L'chaim. It isn't only about that. Primarily, it is about the relationship which carries us through for the rest of the year. The fact is that the period that ends with Yom Kippur begins with Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, there is no vidui. There's no Asham Nebagadnu. There's no Al-Chait. According to many of the Rishonim, even the Avinu Malkeinu that we say on Rosh Hashanah should be stripped of references of Chet. Kolbo says, you shouldn't say Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha on Rosh Hashanah. So in a sense, we make a transition from Rosh Hashanah, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha, to Yom Kippur, where the vidui, Ikaro Shel Vidui, of that day of vidui, is Aval Anachnu Chatanu. But the same sensibility which underlies not getting into specific chataim too early on Rosh Hashanah is the same sensibility that drives this different dynamic between tshuva and vidui on Yom Kippur. And therefore, Aval Anachnu Chatanu, as well as the idea that Chatos or Avonos, Hizvada Aleihem B'Yom Kippur Zeh, Hizvada Aleihem B'Yom HaKippur Haba, ultimately are the best expression of this ideal that the Rambam describes, Yom HaKippurim, Uzman Tshuva L'Kol Yachid V'Rabim, Huketz Mechila U'Slicha L'Yisra. So I want to wish you all a Gemar Sima Tova, and a Shnas Chaim V'Shalom, and you know, the Vidui and everything else of Yom Kippur should be a catalyst, not just for that day, obviously, but for a renewed sense of commitment and relationship with the Kaddish Baruch. Thank you.
Give me a copy of it. Sure, I don't know what it is.